Hi, I'm Tara Schmidt, a registered dietitian and host of On Nutrition, a podcast from Mayo Clinic where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. There's a lot of wild stuff out there, so we'll be keeping it science-based, research-informed, and practical. Mayo Clinic's On Nutrition. New episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.
Paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another installment of a dark minisode. Now, today's dark minisode is slightly shorter than your usual minisode, but I found it to be exceptionally interesting, and I'm pretty sure you'll find it to be the same. But before we get into Zach's father's experience, a quick reminder that if you'd like to send us a story or experience, you need to now head over to either the link in the show notes or the website itself, thedarkparanormal.com, and click on Submit My Experience. And of course, in the show notes, you'll also find a link to our Patreon page. If you wish to support the show, you will not only gain everything on this feed, both before everyone else and ad-free, you can gain access to our Patreon-only podcast, Dark Bites, which releases each and every single week of the year and has a back catalogue of well over 100 hours of Patreon-only content. Now, I love it when I receive correspondence that makes me want to do some digging. And that's exactly what took place when I received the following email from Zach. And Zach writes, "Hey Kev, my name is Zach. Me and my dad live in Phoenix, Arizona. You're more than welcome to use my first name for the story, but my dad wants his name to remain anonymous. I'm a big fan of the show, and I haven't been a Patreon supporter for long, but I love Dark Bites and appreciate the flow of content that you do to keep everyone satisfied. The reason why I'm writing today is I wanted to share my dad's story with you. I want to preface this by saying firstly, my dad is the best and most honest man I know. Obviously, there's some bias there, but even from an outside perspective, he doesn't cheat, he doesn't steal, and most of all, he doesn't lie, to the point where he would rather not answer or give you an upsetting answer rather than lie to you. He's been this way my whole life. So, his experience. Well, where to begin? My dad, for this story, we'll call him John. He's currently 71. He's had quite a rough upbringing. Both of his parents were distant, and he was shuffled between long-term babysitters for years at a time. Unimaginable to us now, but this was the 50s/60s, so I guess it was a different time. He only started living with his mother full-time in his teens, and he constantly had a rotation of stepdads coming in and out of his life. My grandma was married 6 times, and she suffered from a host of mental health issues. This is relevant, because it was from this unsteady upbringing that he began to search for some kind of anchor in his early teens, studying a variety of religions and spiritual topics. This search eventually led him to spiritualism, which in turn led him to hypnosis/reincarnation, and books by Ruth Montgomery. When I say hypnosis, I don't mean you're going to get sleepy, squawk like a chicken hypnosis, but rather past life regression type of hypnosis. From this interest, he started practicing hypnosis on a daily basis. Shortly thereafter, in November 1970, at the age of 17 and a half, being in the 10th grade, he enlisted in the US Army. If you know anything about history, you'll know that this was smack dab in the middle of America's involvement in the Vietnam War. After a short stint of basic training at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, he was then sent to Fort Hood, Texas, then to San Francisco, and after a 22-hour flight and a short stop in Hawaii, he arrived in Vietnam. Tan Son Nhut Air Force Base was where he landed, which was located in the southern part of this country. Following his relocation to Base An Son in the central highlands of Vietnam, on his first day at the base at An Son, on his way to get his papers and lodging situation settled, he was approached by another soldier. We'll call him Steve. Well, Steve, this other soldier, approached my dad within the first 30 minutes of him arriving. And Steve said, "There's something about you that I just don't like," in a confused tone. Well, my dad, being the curious and genuinely good-natured person, said, "Okay, well, why don't you come back to my hooch later and we can talk about it?" A hooch is like a barracks but with sectioned-off cubicle-like rooms, so the soldiers can have some privacy. The guy agreed and they went their separate ways. Well, later that night, around 7 p.m, sure enough, the guy showed up at my dad's room. He came inside, sat down, and they started to talk. My dad started to talk with Steve about the things he was into. You know, just chit-chatting. And how my dad was into hypnosis, spiritualism, and so on. When this topic came up, Steve went on to explain something rather peculiar. Steve said that in his hometown of Boston, he worked / acted as a medium from age 16 onwards until recently at the age of 20 when he left for Vietnam. But the fact he acted as a medium wasn't the weird part of this conversation. No, the weird part was the fact that, according to Steve, a local Catholic priest from his family church, unbeknownst to his family, had used / manipulated him as a medium in spirit communication. But not for any spirit, for a demon. Let's take a quick break to tell you about a wonderful product. Did you know there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our world? From the food we eat to the air we breathe, even the skincare we use, they could be messing with your hormones and making you feel like you're stuck in a mystery of your own. And just like a plot twist in a true crime story or one of those unexpected scary moments in our submitters' experiences, hormonal changes like premenopause or menopause can strike at the most unexpected times. And suddenly you're dealing with mood swings, sleepless nights, and all those other symptoms that make you feel like you're losing control. But here's the good news. This is one mystery you can solve with Happy Mammoth. Just take the 2-minute free quiz from Happy Mammoth, answer a few simple questions about what you're experiencing and where you're at in life, and you'll uncover the real culprit behind your hormonal symptoms. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help you balance your hormones so you can feel like yourself again. The results are impressive. There are over 40,000 reviews on their website. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. According to a survey, 86% of the women started losing weight, 77% say it improved their mood, and the biggest benefit? 100% of the women surveyed said they're feeling like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DARKPARANORMAL at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use the code DARKPARANORMAL for 15% off today. Apparently, this Catholic priest had used Steve to communicate with this thing on more than a dozen occasions. The malevolency of what he was being a medium for wasn't apparent to Steve at first, my dad doesn't think. And at the moment of the conversation between my dad and Steve, I don't think either of them were aware of the nature of the entity that had been allowed to inhabit Steve all of those times back in Boston. So after explaining his interest in hypnosis and regression into past lives, and Steve's explaining of what had happened to him, my dad suggested that he allow Steve to hypnotize him, and my dad theorized that maybe this entity would come out and they could figure out why he was having these feelings towards my dad, i.e. distrust, dislike, cautiousness. So, my dad asks Steve to lay down on the bed with my dad sitting in a chair near the foot of the bed. Using his hypnosis process, he could tell by Steve's body language he was accepting the hypnosis. Once fully under, my dad asked the spirit slash demon to enter the body to communicate. You could tell this body was convulsing and moving at the entrance of the spirit. The spirit in this man's body then sat up, opened his eyes, and, to quote my dad, his eyes were the darkest and most evil eyes I'd ever seen. He then started to speak in a gruff old English accent. My dad didn't think a human could even make sounds like that. He then started to ask questions. Firstly, what is your name? It replied, I am Moloch, commander of the armada of Satanis. And he hissed like a snake at the end of that word. My dad asked how he ended up here, and he replied, the rebellion. And he proceeded to brag about his power, his abilities, and called himself the master of lies. He also said that it could take the form of a dog. However, my dad doesn't remember the exact language he used to say that part. So, as crazy as it sounds, my dad pulled his Bible from his bag and began to pray aloud over and over again, commanding this spirit slash entity to leave, until eventually it went quiet and seemed to have left. Nothing floating, no abnormal strength, just a quiet exit. At the end of the encounter, my dad wasn't completely sure if his pseudo-exorcism worked, but he knew this thing left at least in the short term. But everyone, including my dad, was shipped back home roughly a month later, and my dad lost all contact with Steve. Not that they were great pals to begin with, but still. Anyway, that's my dad's story. He's never had any other paranormal encounter of any kind in his whole life. One thing he did say to me that was sort of profound, if you can call it that, was, you know, for years and years and years after this happened, I just kept thinking to myself, was there a way this guy could have been fooling me? Could I have been tricked? And still, to this day, he just can't see a scenario where this guy could have pulled all of that off with such realism and conviction. Anyway, thanks, Kev. That's my dad's experience. Feel free to cut anything out in the beginning. I know some may not be completely relevant to the story. I just wanted to give as full of an account as I possibly could. Many thanks, Zach. Well, thank you so much, Zach, for giving us this week's dark minisode. However, as I said at the start, I love it when I receive an email that allows me or makes me want to do some digging on the topic. And I think we can all agree, irrelevant of the length of that experience, there is so much there to unpack. The very suggestion that a member of the clergy has used a member of the public with seemingly a psychic gift to summon and command a demon is something in and of itself. And believe me, Zach, your father now isn't the only one wondering what happened to Steve. But as I said earlier, I did want to do some digging because of the name Moloch. Now, the only way in an occult sense I know the word Moloch is the alleged name or the actual name given by conspiracy theorists to the owl-headed creature or statue at the supposed Bohemian Grove. Now, when I say supposed, I know this does take place, but there are allegedly rituals which take place around this owl statue by the name of Moloch. But that's been proven to be an incorrect name because Moloch, by all accounts, is actually symbolized as a bull. So anytime, and believe me, that's where I know the name from, anytime you hear or have heard the name Moloch attached to these secret ceremonies at Bohemian Grove, the name is wrong. Now, I didn't know that until I started to do a bit of diving in to Moloch. And the main reason was, if you just hear that experience, especially the part where Steve, or Moloch, says he is the commander of the Armada of Satanis, you could very easily say, well, that sounds like Satan, this is clearly nonsense and made up, this guy thinks he's possessed by a demon who serves Satan. But no, it was the word Satanis that made me do a bit of Googling and researching, etc. And what I found, as someone who has quite a deep interest in the likes of the Lesser Key of Solomon and other demonic alleged grimoires, was kind of profound in regards to that story by Zach. And Zach, feel free to email in and correct me if I'm wrong in any way on this, but I would imagine that your father is not up on his demonic 17th century grimoires. But I may be wrong. However, if we begin with a little look at Moloch. First off, he is referenced in the Bible. In the Old Testament, Moloch was a god worshipped by some Canaanite and Phoenician cultures. He is most infamously linked to child sacrifice, where children were, allegedly, passed through the fire as offerings. In the Old Testament, it strongly condemns Moloch, or the worship of Moloch. Leviticus 18:21 states, "Do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Moloch." Jeremiah 32:35 speaks of children being burned in the Valley of Hinnom. As I said, he's often depicted as a bull's head with a human torso and arms, with those arms outstretched and made of bronze. Allegedly, he would be heated from behind, so the arms would be scalding hot and children would be placed on those arms. But here is where it got a little bit too hairs on the back of the neck sort of feeling for me. And that is, you see, Moloch is not listed as one of the 72 demons in the Lesser Key of Solomon. And of course, as the tale goes, Solomon used these demons to build Solomon's temple before casting them all into a brass vial and launching it into the sea. The Lemington, or the Lesser Key of Solomon, as it's more commonly known, is a grimoire of these 72 demons with their sigils and how to invoke them allegedly so they can do your bidding, etc. By the way, I would not condone attempting any of that. It's highly dangerous stuff, more mentally than spiritually. But here's the part that really made me feel a little bit uneasy. And that is, in some interpretations of the Lesser Key, Moloch is mentioned, but not as a demon, it's in passing reference. In some older grimoires, which have alleged ways to conjure these demons, Moloch is there as a demon, but not one of the 72. Moloch is seen as a demon that was not bound by Solomon, and allegedly is an exceptionally high-ranking demon. But here's the thing. Of course, in the tale we've just heard from Zach, Moloch allegedly sits up and proclaims that he is in charge of the Armada of Satanis. And you would read that and say, he means Satan. However, in the 18th century magical treatise, the Grand Grimoire, and also Le Dragon Rouge around 1800, Moloch is listed as a prince of hell, with only two other beings above him. One, Lucifer, at the top, and in between, a demon that answers only to Lucifer himself, named Satanashia. Now, if you're a man listening to somebody else talk in a gruff English accent that's hard to make out, surely Satanis and Satanashia could be mistaken for each other. Or am I looking too hard? Do let me know what you think. However, if I am looking too hard, it must be sheer coincidence that when you look deeper into it, in those older grimoires, Moloch looks after the army, or the armada, of Satanisha. Now, personally, I would say if John, Zach's dad, has no knowledge of any of this topic, that's one hell of a synchronicity. Pun intended. But, as ever, thank you, Zach, for sending in this week's dark minisode. And to all of you guys, thank you so much for joining me today. I look forward to speaking to you again next week for another dark minisode. And of course, if you wish to submit your experience, do so by visiting the show notes or go directly to the webpage, thedarkparanormal.com, and clicking on Submit My Experience. But until next week, stay safe and take care.